Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Wow, welcome everybody to Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show. It is episode 236 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. Oh, it's just a blur. Zoom, zoom, zoom. I'm reading Twitter here. Farhan's tweeting. Our boy Zach in Calgary's tweeting at Farhan. Our show's tag, blah, blah, blah. It's nice to be part of the discussion, isn't it? Coming up, Armoni Brooks of the Saskatchewan Rattlers and a veteran of the NBA G League. Looking forward to that. And Trevor Weisgerber, Moose Jaw, AAA Warriors. Dude had a kidney transplant successfully. He's back on the bench. I'm excited to talk about that. All kinds of comments coming in. Elisa McMillan watching from Ottawa. Her husband's Nolan McMillan, Red Blacks guard that was with us earlier a couple weeks back. She says, schools need to bring back football. They took it out of so many schools, even if it's only flag football. I think high schools should have contact football. It's just like everything in football hit at once in the pandemic. And is it just us that are seeing it? Like I, for those that weren't listening right off the start, I had a long time Grey Cup winning coach call me this morning, a very dear friend of mine. We talked for a long time. Well, for me, it was a long time, 20 minutes on what the CFL should do. He goes like, this is my plan. If you think it's worth listening to, and he unrolled it all, but I'm thinking it's cool to come up with that, but it's not, there's people hired to do that. So doesn't matter what I think or what this coach thinks or whatever. There's a commissioner, there's owners, there's presidents, there's governors, there's GMs that are making a lot more money than we are to make these decisions is all. So there's that. So there's A, the survival of the CFL. There's opening the border. There's getting testing kits. She's talking about putting football back in schools. There's so many things that need to be addressed. Where do you start is my point. And then you got players and coaches sitting back right now on day three of the training camp postponement going, for instance, I'll just quote Chad Jeter specifically of the Rough Riders, who said, this is getting old. Do I need to find a job, CFLPA? And I don't know if the CFLPA wrote him back. One half of me is going, it's none of my business, I'll stay out of it. The other half of me is saying, I would go find a job, because this was going to be the poll question, as I mentioned. We settled on another one, but how long's the delay going to be? We're looking at least minimum, what? 6 more weeks?
At least.
And you on day two of training camps going, okay, this is getting old.
And I feel like that's a pretty safe assessment. 6 weeks? And I feel like...
Oh, for what? 6 weeks for what? Like, to start training camp? They're nowhere close to playing.
I feel like you're 6 weeks to either start or get through training. Something like that. You got at least 3 weeks of training. You know, 2 to 3 weeks of training camp. Even if you accelerate that. You got at least a week to kind of... before training camp. And 2 weeks of quarantine time, for sure. So that's 6 weeks right there. Like, so if you just put in your mind that the CFL is 6 weeks away from blank, whatever day it is, tomorrow, 6 weeks from tomorrow. We go another day, we haven't heard anything, it's 6 weeks from that day. It's always 6 weeks from when we hear something to when they start. That's a pretty safe assessment, I think. So the further this goes on, you can see where the timeline starts to shift. It's not going to happen quickly.
Interesting things you're hearing. Nelson writes in and says Vernon Adams was encouraging players to get jobs with Uber and Skip because they're flexible to their training schedule. Vernon Adams came up last week because a friend of his was the guy I was talking to in Montreal last week that said Vernon's take on this is he's finally making some money, signed a good deal in Montreal in the CFL, and then this happens. And Vernon had mentioned to my friend that he'd been eating beans, you know, over the years in his career. He now has a child to support. I can't even begin to say how many times I've said to you or even in my own mind saying, what did people think this league was? Did the events of the last 2 months just expose the fact that the guys aren't making big money? The fact that Chad Jeter's now having to decide if he's got to go get a job because they haven't been paid for 6-7 months. Now they would start having a little money coming in, and it's not. I don't know what people thought that it was. And people are upset saying, oh, David Bailey's just lying. He's not even telling the truth that if there's no season this year, they might fold. It's not dumb. It's not stupidity.
No, but
it's ignorance. You don't want to admit this is the situation that the CFL's in. Open your GD eyes. Why is this a fight?
There is just a severe lack of self-awareness and realization to your situation. I mean, too many people start a business and it's been 3 months. I'm not making any money. How come I'm not making any money? It takes 3 to 5 years to start profiting when you start a new business as an entrepreneur. Too many people start a career and say, Rod, how come I'm not in your job? I've been in this for 6 months, a year.
I get it all the time.
I don't have my own show.
I get it all the time.
I want to be in play-by-play. I want put in the time. Put in some patience. Or, you know, how many athletes now, I'm not speaking for all of them, but you mean I'm not going to make $100,000? You mean I'm not going to make $3 million for the next 40 years? No, your career is going to be 10 years or less. Likely only a couple because it's so competitive. So that $10 million you make a year in the NFL or 50 or whatever it ends up being in your sport, or that $300,000 a year you're making as a quarterback in the CFL over 10 years, $3 million, easy math, has to last you the next 40 years. So you can't live like you're making 300 grand a year. You got to live more like you're making 75, 85 a year. And then you can stretch that out and live that kind of lifestyle for a long time.
Metal Shingle Guy writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. He says, he, i.e. Trudeau, just extended the border till June 21st. No CFL in 6 weeks, I'm afraid. That from Metal Shingle Guy, which we knew the border's going to remain closed in for at least another month. So for the CFL players that are sitting back, not even twiddling their thumbs, but like tapping their foot on the floor going, this is getting old. So now will you seek the help that you need in terms of dealing with this? Because if you missed us in hour one, I said it was all fun. Running at home, running 5K, running stairs, got your home gym. It was all fun. Then training camp was supposed to hit. And now it's a panic. Nothing's really changed, dude. You know, and by the way, people are writing in. This is the other funny thing that I'm laughing at. People saying, even the owners. I was directed to a podcast that our friend Joey Alfieri hosted yesterday on TSN Montreal Radio. And he had the president of the Alouettes on. The guy's new. I can't remember his name. Doesn't matter. He's the president of the Alouettes going, this is not a bailout from Ottawa. It's not a bailout because we're going to give them ads. We're going to give them sideline ads. We're going to give them ads on TV. We're going to... Oh, come on! Stop pissing on our head and telling us that it's raining. It is a bailout. I mean, one of the biggest reasons why the CFL is where it is because the owners can't get out of their own way. Oh, the salary cap's going to go up. We're going to give the top quarterback 750 grand. They can't get out of their own way.
No.
That's the biggest problem. And that's why I, you know, Farhan, go back and listen to the interview with Farhan. Do we have faith that the CFL leaders can get them back on the field and get the funding from Ottawa? Do we have that faith? I asked that in my column on Sunday. I'm just not sure that I do. I'm sorry.
And you're right to ask the question. You're absolutely right to question it because there's no plan. And until there's a plan, what are we doing?
I know.
What are we doing, right? You know, people hate that. The biggest one for me that I've had, and I do this all the time, whether it's family, whether it's girlfriends, whatever, is I get in the car and I start driving, right? But we don't know where we're going yet. And it just annoys them to all get, I don't like sitting still. That's the problem. I don't want to sit still and sit in the car while we decide. But they've always been, well, we haven't decided where we're going for dinner. What direction are you going to drive in? And I think that's kind of the same situation that the league's in. With no direction, with no plan, there's not a lot of faith in the other people in the car to where you're going. You're just driving to drive. And now all you're doing is wasting our time. And so I sympathize with that. And I think that's where we're in right now. People just want some communication. I think that's the biggest thing. They want to know where they're going. They want a plan.
But nobody knows, Darren.
But nobody knows.
I can't even fault. I mean, I'm seeing it from fans saying, how come I'm not hearing from the league whether there's a season or not? Dude, the season's postponed. That's all you need to know. When something changes, we'll let you know. They don't need to be like Trudeau and having news conferences every day, because they'd be saying the same thing every day.
Not daily, but they're missing something that's giving you the faith that they can get us out of it. There's something missing.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you there, but what are they going to say? What are they going to say? Back to the peeing on my head and telling me it's raining thing. Come on, be real. I'm not sure they're capable of that. That's all.
Yeah.
Rog ran for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, your factory authorized Bryant Furnace dealer, as we await Armani Brooks of the Saskatchewan Rattlers. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Clark's telling me he's ready. We're going to go to a break and we'll come back. He's in Texas, I believe. I just want to tell you this. Brennan writing me seems like a good dude. He's got a junior hockey jersey on in his avatar. He says, hey, at NHL, I was up late last night and figured out a solution for an 11-game end of the regular season and playoffs. I really don't think it's that difficult. Ratings would be lit. What do you think? At Rod Peterson Show, at Jay and Dan. It's cool that you probably spent all weekend coming up with this elaborate plan. With this and $1.50, you'll get a bag of chips. I feel like I'm telling everybody that there's no Santa Claus.
I know. What?
I'm sorry. Sorry.
They so badly want this to happen. And just like the mayor in Vegas, right? Well, we can get the casinos open. If it spreads, it spreads. Well, are you going to be in there? Well, no, I got a family. Like, what are you talking about? It's the same thing, you know, with us. We can easily say, well, just quarantine for a couple of weeks and then get back to playing.
Oh, so much.
Not that easy.
Armani, just one sec. Jack in Calgary writes, Alberta. He says, times are changing. If the CFL doesn't change with it, we're going to lose. In all honesty, the CFL should have changed 5+ years ago. With that coach I talked to this morning, when he gave me his plan, just like this, but for the CFL, and I said, here's all the reasons why it might not work. I mean, one problem comes up and he's screwed. He goes, well, we're going to find out whether the CFL is worth saving or not. Because you know what? If we don't pull together and it folds, we'll just watch the NFL. We're really going to find out what this league means to this country. We'll be back. Going to Texas next. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and staying healthy.
At Capital GMC, we've taken steps to help customers who are buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive from home, or let us know if you need service work.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at capitalgmc.ca.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter. Monster hit. Crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Nat, what are the top 5 reasons people come to Suds?
Number 5. Our advanced technology protects your finish and keeps your car clean longer. Number 4. We knock off the snow and ice and towel dry to prevent freeze-up. Number 3. Our famous Suds Ultimate thoroughly cleans your car's interior. Number 2. You never need an appointment and you get a showroom shine. And the number 1 reason, we treat our customers like family.
Treat yourself and your car to a Suds full-service car wash.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Well, this is exciting. Welcome back to the program, everybody. We're going to talk a little hoops now, and we'll get back to the CFL discussion and more a little later on. Armani Brooks, joins us from Texas. He is with the Saskatchewan Rattlers, NBA G League veteran in the Hawks system. We got to get this straight. Waco, Texas product. Armoni. I'm saying that right. Armoni, correct?
It's pronounced Armani.
It is Armani. I had it both ways. How big of a problem is that in your life? Does that come up every single day?
Yeah, it does. And a lot of people misspell it, too. But, you know, you guys spelled it right. So that's the biggest thing.
Okay, good. I got it. It's Armani.
What do you say, right? Yep. I don't care how you say it. Just spell it right on the paycheck.
It's on the paychecks, exactly. Armani, listen, I appreciate this. I appreciate the Rattlers setting it up. I appreciate you spending the time with us. Before we get into the hoops talk and you coming north to play in the CEBL, what is your situation right now? Where are you at? How are you doing? How are you filling time?
You know, right now I'm just at home with my family. Trying to stay in shape any way possible. Been working out outside, you know, lifting weights in the garage because it's a tough time not being able to get in the gym. You know, finding ways to keep my mind occupied, as in, you know, studying the stock market and just learning different things, trying to expand my educational opportunities. And I'm just really hoping that they open these gyms back up and we can get back to work.
No kidding. And we hope they open up these gyms in Canada to get the CEBL on the court, because they were to have opened their season already and had their ring ceremony just last week. Would you please, Armani, introduce yourself to our viewers, just your basketball history? From Waco, you played at Houston, then into the G League. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, sir. You know, grew up with both my family. A lot of basketball. Just everyone in my family plays basketball, so it was just a second nature. And so, you know, I fell in love with it and realized that I wanted to play it at the college level and hopefully professional. Committed to the University of Houston. Didn't have a whole bunch of offers coming out of high school, so was really blessed to be in that situation. We turned the program around, made it a national program again, and now, you know, chasing the dream of getting to the NBA, going through the G League, and thankfully the CBL, I was blessed to get that opportunity.
How did that come about? You got an agent that contacted the CEBL, or did they scout you? How was that association made with the Rattlers?
Yeah, it was actually unique because one of the assistant coaches for the Rattlers actually comes down to Austin all the time, and he sees me train with my trainer that I train with down here. So I saw him post a picture on Instagram about him getting an assistant coaching job, and I just kind of asked what it was about, you know, just being curious. And a week later, the GM was offering me a contract with the team, and I talked to my agent, and it was signed pretty quickly.
So what do you know about the CEBL? By the way, we go to all the games. We're big Rattlers fans. We got all the gear. What do you know about the league?
I didn't know much at first, but I've been studying, you know, trying to educate myself on what I'm getting myself into. And I know that it's a really high-tempo league with a lot of great competition. It's not a league that'll try to kill you with, you know, heavy practices and a lot of back-to-back games. So I think that it's good just getting out there and learning how to play with the FIBA rules, you know, just in case the NBA doesn't work and, you know, there's good chances internationally.
Yeah, it is. It's very fast. It's very exciting, quick-paced. And about the G League, by the way, tell us a little bit about your history there.
Yeah, you know, I had 1 year in the G League with the College Park Skyhawks. It was a good year. You know, we were pretty inconsistent as a team, but it's great learning just, you know, all the ins and outs of NBA systems and their calls and their terminology. And being able to get that as a young rookie and, you know, going into my second year, hopefully in the G League, I can, you know, take a bigger step and get closer to the NBA dream that I have.
Last question is, what do you know about the future of the CEBL? We had the president of the Rattlers on last week. He said there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes that are very positive. What's the communication that you're getting from the team?
Yeah, they've been very communicative with us. They sent us emails with questionnaires asking us if we still stay playing, and if so, various formats that they'll be interested in us. You know, they've been brought up in their offices just trying to figure out how to do this safely. Asking us like if we would provide our own home or if they would, or will we use the league provided homing? You know, just trying to figure out any way to get us up there, because I know all the players are ready and we're trying to get ready to play.
Producer Clark, 1 second, Armani. How's the audio, Clark? Because I can't hear him too well. You want me to ask him about The Last Dance, but I'm not sure the audio is coming out through okay. Oh, he says it's fine. Okay, so So The Last Dance concluded last night. I'm saving episodes 9 and 10 for tonight in our house. We are a big basketball family here. What was your take? You're too young to remember MJ in his prime. So what do you think about this guy and how it all went down?
Man, The Last Dance was crazy because, you know, you watch so much on YouTube, you know, trying to educate yourself, but there's only so many things that they show you. And being able to see all the behind the scenes stuff with how he was with Horace Grant and, you know, how Dennis Rodman was with, like, just the character that he was and how many things he got away with. It's pretty amazing to just see all the stuff that went into that last season and being able to educate myself and actually know what my dad is talking about when he calls Michael Jordan the GOAT is really amazing. I had a good conversation with him.
That's pretty cool, Armani. So have you ever had a teammate like that that's so hard on you and, you know, such a taskmaster? And, you know, if so or if not, what do you think about the way he kind of, you know, demanded the most out of his teammates? And some guys called him a dick for it. But, you know, what do you think about, you know, the way he conducted himself, trying to, you know, squeeze the juice out of all his teammates?
Yeah, you know, I think that kind of leadership is really hard to deal with because when it's so much demand, you know, it comes with a lot of responsibility, personal responsibility. And my point guard at University of Houston, Galen Robinson Jr., he plays with the San Antonio G League team now. He was that same kind of person. Every day he was pushing you, you know, and if you were slacking, he was going to tell you. And I feel like, you know, having somebody like that that gets on you like that can really push you really far. And it gets the most out of you, whether you know it or not.
One more. Producer Clark wants to know, growing up in Waco, if you were a Spurs fan or a Mavericks fan, I see over your shoulder that you might just be a Texas Longhorns fan. I mean, who's your favorite basketball team growing up?
You know, my dream college was actually to go to Oklahoma because I was so tired of hearing everybody talking about UT. The only reason I have that shirt was because Kevin Durant signed it when he played at UT. So, you know, I just kept it. And then NBA team, I'm actually a Lakers fan because my dad was a Lakers fan. So I've just been a Lakers fan since Kobe and Shaq, and I've never changed.
Well, that is not a bad team to cheer for, there's no doubt. Armani, I appreciate the time. I can't wait to get you up here because at some point you will. And let's make a date in that I want to meet your family courtside. So you bring them up for a game, too. It's just going to be fantastic, as we say around here. Thanks for the time and stay safe.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You too.
Armani Brooks of the Saskatchewan Rattlers joining us from Texas this morning. All this talk does get people excited for sure. It's a bit of a downer to think about where we are right now, but I'm going to tell you, the Rattlers are so much fun. They treat us so well.
Don't they?
What can I say?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, the basketball environment is so cool. I love sitting courtside because you get access to those players. You're right there. There's no glass up around the benches or anything like that. You're right on top of them. And I mean, you and I, we walk right by the bench, right behind them. Hey, coach, how's it going? Like, it's pretty cool being down there courtside for a Rattler.
That's cool for everybody. You don't have to be courtside to have fun. But we do have some stories about that, by the way. We took from Great Western Scott Henbury, the provincial sales manager, the guys that gave us these beautiful original 16 glasses. I don't even like touching it because my hands are so sweaty. I don't like to get the Swift Current Broncos glass dirty. But anyways, we were sitting in the second row. You were there.
Yeah.
You were in the third row.
Yeah.
And I said, Scott, look, there's two seats in the front row. Let's just go sit in the front row. We should be okay. He's bigger than me and I'm big. Like, he's big. Not fat, but tall. Long limbs. So we're in the front row. We are rolling like the pimps of Chili Town. And all of a sudden, at halftime, remember that guy that showed up? We were in his seat.
Yeah.
Like,
not pleased.
Oh, covered in tattoos, everything pierced it around. And it's huge. Like, he wasn't nice. It was sort of like, you're in my seats, get out. I mean, if somebody's in your seats, do you need to be rude about it, or
do you usually fumble with your? Is this G?
Oh, I think I'm in the wrong. I don't know.
You know, like, you kind of play it off like you're making the mistake. I think I'm in the wrong row. Is this row G? Is this like you could mistake row one?
Right. Is this not row two? I'm sorry. What am I doing right in front of the players?
Whoops.
I don't know. The guy was just kind of. And then of course I felt like a complete boob because I got the. This sponsor, potential partner that we're courting, at the court and we get kicked out of the seats. Oops. Go. Trent from Norway writes in and says that was the Rattlers game where we met with the seat episode. Yes, it was, Trent. Which, by the way, hell of a story. Jason and Red Deer, new Netflix doc, The Pimps of Chili Town. But we walked into the SaskTel Center. You're with me.
Yeah.
And Scott from Great Western. And all of a sudden, Trent just, boom, from Norway, all over me. Right? With gifts, and we're taking pictures. And Scott's like, does this happen all the time?
We walked in, and literally, our eyes caught the merch. We caught the CEBL championship trophy.
Right.
And the merch table. So we were going ping, ping, you to one, me to the other. And all of a sudden, we hear this voice. That sounds like Darren DuPont. Well, that sounds like Rod Peterson. And it's Trent, and all of a sudden.
Trent from Norway.
Oh, man. And so, yeah, well, I instantly pulled up my phone. That's on an Instagram story somewhere. That was lots of fun. But, yeah, it could be a Netflix documentary, Jason, if we just rolled the camera around and we went on the road. There is enough action. Remember Outside of Earls?
With the girls. Oh, yeah, I still have that on my phone. Oh, yeah. I still have it.
It would be the Pimps of Chili Town.
That day we were. A couple things. Jack in Alberta writes in and says, with the real possibility of losing the CFL, how much of an impact will it have on university football programs in Canada? Maybe we'll save a lot of these questions and bring them up tomorrow or the day after or the day after. I'm using rough numbers here. But just for instance, if you go to a Rider game, you see the guys and gals that are running up and down the stairs selling 50-50 tickets. They're from the Rams, the U of R Rams. It is roughly $750,000 cash per year in the Rams coffers to go to running their football program. So without Rider football and the 50-50 money, I'm told would be no Rams football in terms of their costs. So Canada West this year is limiting their schedule to 5 games, traveling by bus. I mean, everybody's doing what they can. But it also tells me how football people aren't thinking about those types of things. For instance, Anthony Calvillo was on with us, 6 weeks ago?
Yeah.
He's with the Montreal Caribbean as their offensive coordinator. And I'm like, well, AC, what's the funding situation for the University of Montreal with the football program? He's like, I don't know. I'm the OC. He's not expected to know.
He does his job.
He does his job, but he doesn't think about the finances, and quite frankly, nor really should he. But it also tells me how little people know about what goes on in all the other areas of a sports franchise, to be honest. By the way, Dan Kurtz, I'm not sure who this guy is. Clark followed him on our Twitter account. His Twitter account is at MyKBO. So he just tweeted, my KBO's home run bat drop of the day featuring Hanwha's Lee Hai Chang. It was part of Hanwha's 9-run seventh inning as their comeback bid fell short. The KT Wiz held on for a 13-11 win. Phone flip right there because I got the results right here. I wrote them down. The Wiz won last night, Jordan. Your Wiz won.
13 runs. We're supposed to have the best pitching staff in all of the KBO.
Yep.
I mean, Minwoo Kim is the strikeout leader in the KBO, but 13 runs, that's not great. We're missing our stars. Ju Suk and Mr. Oh, the shortstop, have been on the DL. So,
last night in KBO baseball, it was the Wiz over the Eagles, 13-11. Nice Wiz, Jordan. The Twins beat the Lions 10-6. That's Craig Smith's Twins. Won 10-6 over the Lions. The Tigers, the aforementioned Tigers, beat the Giants 9-2. Clark's Bears, producer Clark, his Bears fell 5-4 to the Dinos. And my Wyverns, the worst team in baseball, lost to Justin Dunk's Heroes 11-6. So we're riding a 10-game losing streak. Just going to put that out there.
1-11.
Yeah. Yep. 1-11. And the Dinos lead the league at 10-1, and nobody's claimed them, have they, on our board?
No.
Nobody cheers for the Dinos out of our crew.
I know.
What a bunch of losers we are.
Right.
The Bears, the Twins, the Giants, and the Heroes all have 7 wins. They're tied for second place. Yeah. Your Eagles are 5-7. So.
Hanging on. Again, we're dealing with some injuries. If you know, I subscribe now to the Korean Herald. And I read that every morning now.
Oh so it's in English.
I get my news. It is in English, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Korea Herald. So it's good.
Jason in Red Deer says, my Samsung Lions are challenging your Wyverns for the basement, Rod. Well, I think at this point, we just want to finish last and get the number one overall draft pick. Dong Min Han, the big donger, hit one out on the weekend. And he leads the league in home runs with 5. Preston Tucker, the Tigers, has 5 as well. So that's really the only thing we're watching in the Wyverns Nation right now is if the big donger can lead the loop in homers all year, in round trippers, in going deepers, in dingers. Preston Tucker, by the way, of the Tigers, also leads the league in RBI with 20. So, by the way, John Ohm writes in, he says, the Wiz, they won? Wow, miracles do happen. Can you believe the amount of people that are tweeting? And there was some controversy with your Eagles this weekend.
They got the win. And
it was a balk in the ninth inning.
Yeah, tied in the ninth inning with a runner on third, and it was a balk. And, you know, all the people who were calling to fire the manager for the Eagles, they're not anymore because he came out of there. He got that balk call and won the game in the ninth. It was incredible.
Fought for his team.
And it wasn't just tweeting at us. They're tweeting video of it, and now we're inspecting and dissecting the video, and people are wondering, how is that a balk? But other people are explaining the balk rule. I don't understand baseball enough that I know the nuances of the balk, but I'll take the win.
They were pretty heated up.
Oh, yeah. And that pitcher, he just looked so stunned. He didn't know what to think, but it was fun.
Jack in Alberta says, the Calgary Colts do the 50-50 at all Stamps games. So you asked yourself how university football would be affected by the collapse of the CFL. How about junior football, PFC, and what the 50-50 means at Stampeders games to the Colts? I mean, this is a major problem. And I mean, I'll go to the poll here for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Which of these sports leagues will come back first? The leader is Major League Baseball, 43% on Twitter. 33% of you saying the NHL. 14% of you say the National Football League. And 10% of you say the CFL. 10% of you think the CFL will trail all leagues in getting back on the field. David Braley coming out on the weekend in an article that ran in the Toronto Sun. I don't know if that was the original paper that carried it, but said if they don't play, the league will probably fold. And people are saying, I don't listen to him. I don't understand what people get or don't get about this. The threat is very real. I've been saying it how long? For at least a month. I'm getting nailed to the cross saying, oh, it's fake news. Oh, he's this, he's that. I don't really have a history of as a guy that goes on the air and lies. That's not what my reputation's been built on.
Or fear-mongering.
Or none of that.
No.
It's the absolute truth. And people just simply don't want to hear it. And as that coach, who, by the way, called me this morning, he's not in the league anymore. I said he was a Grey Cup winning coach. He's not in the league anymore. I said to him, this is the first extended phone call that we had. I said to him, I'll add you to the stable of my football guys, my football gods, if you will, just to get a temperature of what the guys are saying out there. Because they got my guys in the league that I talked to, but there's a big group of guys that aren't in the league anymore. And this guy's in one of them. And he says, well, I guess we'll find out how much people want the CFL. Because he's pointing out this was his strategy as to how to get the CFL on the field. And I'm saying, what if 4 players on one team in the middle of October test positive? What are you going to do then? What are you going to do if the borders aren't open until Labor Day week? What are you going to do then? Where are you going to house the players when you talk about, oh, we'll just bring the Americans to Canada and we'll quarantine them for 14 days. Oh, where are you going to put them? What are you going to pay them? How are you going to feed them? Right? Oh, we'll send a charter to Atlanta. We'll just tell the players to meet in Atlanta. We'll put them on a charter and we'll fly them to Canada. What if the government doesn't want to do that? What are you going to do then? So a lot of these scenarios are all predicated on best case. And if there's one thing goes wrong, which really the biggest one thing is if there's an outbreak on a team, you're done.
Well, and all the reasons Farhan mentioned when it comes to the insurance and what happens if...
read liability.
Yeah. And it'd be really, really worth your time if you missed it to go back and listen to that interview with Farhan Lalji because he had a lot of good information there.
We're going to go deep on that interview. It's going to go viral after this show. We'll break. We got more guests coming up. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Don't forget, we'll be posting our poll next break for the Rockstar of the Day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions for the guest of the day. Just ahead of Trevor Weisgerber, the head coach of the AAA Midget Warriors. Can you put up the comment from Jack? Guys, and I'm going to read that with regards to where we sit here on day three of the CFL training camp postponement, which, you know, the situation got real for players and coaches on the main. There we go. But it's no different than anybody else that as we sit on day 68 of the pandemic. Jax's denial is a very, very dangerous place to rest. Like you said, Rod, face the facts, get out of the way, face it now or go down with it later. Rod, you're going to be so busy with helping with mental health issues, you won't have time for much else. Oh, I'm aware. We'll talk about that after our next interview. Trevor Weisgerber joins us, and it's a hell of a story. Coach of the Year, Saskatchewan Midget AAA Hockey League, but the, what should I say, benefactor of a successful kidney transplant. He joins us on the phone line here this morning. How you doing, Trevor?
I'm good. Yourself?
Good, good. I apologize for me not being able to spit your name out. I know the Weinbergers, the Weisbergers, the Weisgerbers. There's a lot of them in Saskatchewan. But I may say this. First of all, congratulations on being Coach of the Year. And how grateful are you to have been around to win it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's nice. But, I mean, at the end of the day, obviously, I mean, I got a great supporting cast with our coaches, and I mean, we got a video coach and our equipment manager and trainer and everything. I mean, it goes to all those guys, and then as well, I mean, obviously you have to have a good team and a team that buys in, and we had that. So I mean, it was kind of just a group effort.
Well, your team put you forth as a guy that should come on this show because it's a hell of a story. So if you don't mind, and you know, most coaches don't like talking about themselves, but just tell us what you've been through, by the way, because it is a hell of a story, and you are a winner in every sense of the word.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I mean, it was obviously the last year and a bit has been a little bit of a struggle just with my dialysis and everything. As far as energy and things like that, it makes it tough. And being on dialysis every night, I mean, you kind of got a regiment that you had to go through, that you had to be on this machine for 8 hours a night. And So, I mean, like on road trips and things like that, it made it tough. I mean, there's lots of tote and stuff, especially when we went to the Max. I mean, the good thing was is that they delivered it all through Calgary to the hotel and things like that, which was nice. But it definitely makes things more difficult. But, I mean, there's people in a lot worse situations than I am. So, and then as far as the transplant, I mean, I was obviously very fortunate to get that call and that everything went well. And that I'm 100% now. I mean, I feel fantastic. And as far as the healing and everything, it's like I'm all healed up now and everything's going really well.
Well, if I may, Trevor, I know a lot of people that have been in your situation that don't have as happy as a story. And if I may, there's a reason that you survived and you thrived. And I would say that's to be an advocate for people that have been in your shoes. So when did you start realizing you were having issues? What are the warning signs? And because this is kind of going to be your story now, whether you like it or not, you know, as the survivor.
Yeah, no, actually, we got a family kidney disease, actually. So I knew roughly about 10 years ago while I was, well, probably even a little bit sooner, that I was actually playing and I went for a physical and my creatinine was a little high. So that's one of the indicators is once your creatinine is kind of out of whack. I mean, the average person's anywhere from like 80 to 120, I think, something like that. And I mean, mine was a little high. So then went through all the testing and everything and then realized that I had the family disease. So then, I mean, just more or less monitored it through a kidney doctor and for the next, whatever, 7-8 years. And then it kind of got to where it was too bad that I was already on the donor list, but it was too bad I needed to go on dialysis. So I was on dialysis for about a year and 9 months. And then I got fortunate enough to get that call. So.
Do you have a message to people to be potential organ donors? Is that kind of a cause that you're picking up?
Yeah, you know what? We've done it for a long time here. Obviously, with my mom, my grandpa, and then my mom had it, and my uncle has had it. So I mean, we've been huge. And I mean, now that I'm obviously have gotten it as well. I mean, it's just so crucial that people. I mean, once you pass away, I mean, you're if you can donate your organs, it's just I mean, it gives people a new life, a new lease on life. And I mean, I'm one of the people that have that and fortunate enough to be able to have that. And from what we understand, it was a younger gentleman. And I mean, he obviously signed his card and had that sticker on his card and was an organ donor and fortunate enough that I was able, that we were a match and that I got that. So I just can't say enough for people to do that. And it's, like I said, it just gives people another lease on life.
How old were you when you discovered that you had the issue, by the way?
I want to say I was like early 30s. So roughly 10 years ago, probably. I just turned 41 here. So I want to say about that. So, I mean, I knew for about 8 years prior that I had it. So my kidneys were functioning about 60% and then just slowly declined the whole time to I was about 5%, I think, when they put me on dialysis. And then the problem was my creatinine was just so high. I mean, the day that I went in for surgery, I mean, my creatinine was over 1600. And I mean, like I said, the average would be around 100. So it's not good. So it wasn't good. So, but yeah, probably 10 years ago, I had found out that I was going to have that, or that I had the disease and, that eventually I was going to probably go on dialysis if I didn't find a kidney.
I just called up your hockey DB, by the way, for those that don't know. So you were playing hockey while this was going on. Trevor played at Lake Superior State University and then pro, Oklahoma City, San Angelo, Rio Grande Valley, Lubbock, Rocky Mountain Rage, Rio Grande Valley Killer Bees. So you know the state of Texas very well. And I'll just finish it by saying this, Trevor, given what you've been through, I mean, the pandemic sucks, of course, but when you go through what you've been through, it's somewhat life-changing, right? I mean, do you have a different perspective on this than maybe others wouldn't because of what you've been through?
Yeah, you do. I mean, it definitely makes you take a step back and just appreciate, I mean, like your family and just the little things. I mean, before this, and even when I knew that I had this before I was on dialysis, I mean, people just kind of run around and you do your job and you got so many activities that you're running to for the kids and things like that. And I mean, now with this, I mean, just being able to hang out with the kids and my wife and things like that, it's just you definitely take a different perspective on things. And I mean, with the transplant, I mean, it's a big transplant. And I mean, the first 4 or 5 days, I was telling my wife, I don't even know if I should have done that. Like, it was just like, it's obviously painful and things like that. But I mean, you look back for 5-6 days having some issues and just the pain and things like that. I mean, it's definitely worth it. And I mean, we look back and you kind of laugh at it now, but I mean, it does. You just have a different perspective and just step back and just see that, you know what, all these things running around and doing all this stuff all the time, you kind of, you take for granted that, that you can do that stuff now and that family is important and friends and things like that, it can be gone and so quickly. And it's just, you learn to appreciate that stuff for sure.
Well, Trevor, I appreciate this so much. I appreciate the time. I'll say good luck. Good luck just getting through this, but congratulations on Coach of the Year. I would say Moose Jaw, and those players are so lucky to have you. And stay safe, man. Hope to see you on the ice this fall.
Yeah, you bet. Appreciate it.
Trevor Weisgerber, AAA Midget Coach of the Warriors, Coach of the Year. Vibank kid, don't you know? He's one of those Weisgerbers. I didn't realize it until I looked it up.
What a great story, but I'm with you. A lot of Weisgerbers, Weisblatts.
Weisburgers.
Weisburgers. Yeah. There's a lot of them, but there's some Weisgerbers from the Foam Lake area that I kind of grew up with, too. So, no, great story. Great story. Glad to see him having success now.
So, of all our guests, and they've been great, and give Clark the kudos for that, you'll be voting on the rock star of the day, and I don't think it'll be an easy choice. Farhan Lalji, G. Roy Simon, Armani Brooks, and Trevor Weisgerber. For Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions, they give you the rock star of the day. They're Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company, strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI, and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain solutions we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service. Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better. We'll be back with Overtime in a moment. We'll talk about the rock star of the day. We'll talk about the poll question. I'm not quite yet done on the CFL story yet, so hang on. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and healthy.
At Capital Ford, we've taken steps to help customers with buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive at home, and let us know when you need servicing.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at CapitalFordLincoln.com.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
Thank you. Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, you can't yet vote on the rock star of the day because Darren and I got yakking in the break and I neglected to tweet it. So we'll get to that. Wait a minute. I just saw your tweet here. You answered the poll question with a depends.
Depends what?
I just saw your thing here. You retweeted our poll question and said it depends on something. Do you recall? I said what the poll question today is, which league do you think will get back first? NHL, NFL, MLB, or CFL?
I said...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's not
no,
me.
You didn't. My bad. You said fully believe it'll be the NHL first.
Yeah.
Interesting poll question. Major League Baseball leading with 43% of the vote on Twitter.
Yeah.
I voted for NHL. You voted for NHL. What makes you think it'll be the NHL?
I think they're at a point right now where enough time's passed and you got another season that's getting closer and closer and closer and closer. So if they don't get the season in right away, then they're going to have to say, okay, not happening, and start looking at next year at September and October already. And I've heard from hockey people who are very, very confident that the NHL is going to hand out the Stanley Cup. So if they're that confident and there's, you know, come hell or high water, they're going to hand out the cup. They got to get on the ice right away. And, you know, I heard the reports that there was, you know, some really important and high level meetings happening over the weekend. And we're going to expect some news in the NHL soon. So all of that leads me to believe that it's got to be the NHL first. Baseball can take some time. You know, NBA is kind of in the same boat as the NHL. And the NFL isn't to training camps yet. So I choose the NFL or the NHL, sorry.
Brady in Saskatoon writes us on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, hey, Rod, what do you think about the proposed 24-team NHL playoffs? I'm not a fan. It's unfair to the 16 teams who were good enough to make the cut when the pandemic and cancellation happened. Well, this is where we are. Look at the owners of those other 8 teams that were on the bubble. It's not fair to them if you just lop it off. Forget about being fair. They'll scream bloody murder if they're not allowed in a playoff tournament. And I don't blame them. How do you arbitrarily say we can't play in the playoffs? We were in contention. They've got a great argument. And from a business perspective, Brady, to go to 24 teams in the NHL playoffs, all of a sudden that expands interest in 8 more markets across the National Hockey League. 8 more cities are interested now than if you'd lopped them off and they wouldn't be in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You think that's not a part of the decision? It's a huge part of the decision.
Yeah. That's huge. It's big. Now, I don't know that Montreal deserves a shot to be in there, and I don't know that Chicago deserves a shot necessarily to be in the playoffs, but Phoenix does, and so does Florida. And so ideally, it'd be 22 teams, but how are you going to do a playoffs in each conference with 11? That doesn't work. That's why they got 24, because 12 in each side makes a little bit of sense. 11 doesn't, but 11 would be that number where you got the teams in really in contention, but who knows? Maybe the Habs get hot, and you're right. That market would be on fire if they're in the playoffs.
They already are.
And they get rolling.
Just talking about it.
Exactly.
Clark points out 24 teams, but there's an 8 to 12 team play-in round. So the 16 teams still get priority. The other 8 have to win and get in. A wild card scenario, if you will. So I think at this point, most people just want them to play. I know the amount of hours that are being put into coming up with this stuff. I'm following it closely, just like you, Brady. I'm not going to sit and nitpick as to how they get back on the ice. I just want them back on the ice. What the heck was it? It was Sunday morning. I retweeted our discussion about the Communist Football League. I said, get ready for the Communist Football League, y'all. And some guy wrote it and says, I don't care. I just want them to play. What the fans' perspective is so much different than the people that are in the leagues. I totally, as much as I don't like what Blake Snell said, I get what Blake Snell said. You can come up with a plan to play, but if I don't agree with it as a player, I'm not playing. There's just far too many hurdles to jump over for this to be ending anytime soon. And shoot, here we sit, 2 hours up, and I still didn't get to a lot of my things on the CFL. I think people are grasping now. We got a lot of new viewers, too, that this is just a talk show. We're not breaking any news. I wanted in this segment to talk about what Farhan said. Farhan, let that guy do his job because he's doing it great. Or Justin Dunk or any of the other insiders, Dave Naylor, and we'll debate what they're digging out of the corners. What did you take from the Farhan interview? Because I'm leaning on him being the rock star of the day, by the way.
Yeah, I am too. It was really good, really telling. The big one for me is all the different things to think about. He just puts everything into perspective so well. The liability stuff, we don't think about that. That could be millions and millions of dollars. If you have a high-end player, you look at the NFL and you got guys, you know, making tens of millions of dollars per season. And if they catch the disease, the virus, and they survive, but they lose 30% of their lung capacity and they can't play sports, are they covered? Is there insurance for that? That's one guy.
And what is that worth?
What is it worth, right? So there's so much to think about. It's not just getting on the field. What happens if a player, you know, because you let fans in and he gives a fan a high five and then spreads it to the crowd? And then there's lawsuits that your player's got us sick. And there's so many things. And all it takes is one incident, one bad move, and all of a sudden your league is in trouble. Because if you're on the wrong side of it, i.e. a player gets sick or potentially dies, or you spark an outbreak in one of your communities, there's no coming back from that. And so as much as we sit here in Saskatchewan and think there's no cases or there's very few in the prairies and we're fine, let us open the doors. As soon as somebody comes in and there's one and it spreads, wherever that started, there's no coming back from that.
Our buddy Peanut Butter Pete Saragello's watching, by the way. He writes that and he says, I vote for a morning and afternoon show. I want more. Thank you, Pete. Miss you, my friend.
Yes.
But as Seinfeld said,
leave him wanting more.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry
for the delay on that.
That was a video issue, right?
Yeah, right. I feel bad because Pete was at our house last week, but I was on the phone doing a conference call in my car. Pete was dropping off his awe. Which we're doing another one from the tower tomorrow.
Awesome.
Listen, I never did the second sports update, and this is important to mention before we go off the air. The WHL announced Edmonton Oil Kings forward Dylan Genther has been named the recipient of the Jim Pigott Memorial Trophy for Rookie of the Year, presented by Wawanisa Insurance. Genther is the first player from the Oil Kings to ever earn the honor. He had 59 points in 58 games in his rookie year this year. LeBron James reiterated Monday that he is hopeful the NBA season can resume with the caveat that the health and well-being of players won't be jeopardized. The LA Lakers star, speaking on the Uninterrupted Platform's after-party show that was released Monday, said it remains his wish that the season comes back sooner than later. And Notre Dame is planning to allow students back on campus for the fall semester beginning in early August and end the semester before Thanksgiving. University President Reverend John I. Jenkins. John Jenkins? Well, it's the former offensive coordinator of the Ottawa Renegades, I wonder. He says he made the announcement Monday in letters to the campus community. There was no mention of sports. And as Nick Lewis pointed out way back in hour one of the show, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said Monday that pro sports leagues and entities in baseball, basketball, baseball, softball, golf, tennis, football, and car racing can apply to the state to hold events without spectators starting May 31st. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill. They're hiring. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Having a job fair at Wendell Clark's. They're at the corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. They feature free citywide delivery and curbside pickup. See their Facebook page for their takeout menu. See you at Wendell's. Dupes, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you all tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.